Morning, church. Today we're going to walk through Psalm 56 together. I don't have any fancy slides today, so I'd encourage you to bear with me and get your Bible apps out and read from the ESV version with me. And while you get yourselves ready, let me just share a quick story with you. You know, I can remember a time when I was in my teenage years. I went to a friend's house for a birthday party, and I remember having a good time. But amongst all my friends, there was one guy that I wasn't really friends with. He was a guy who was a friend of our family, and I just happened to go to school with him. Our parents wanted us to be friends, but truth be told, we were more like rivals. I guess you could call him a frenemy. But at this particular party, we were all mucking around at the park, and suddenly I wasn't enjoying myself. Why? Because this guy had somehow convinced all my other friends that it would be a good idea to start throwing rocks at me. And they did. And I didn't know why, but it just started happening. So I ran. And I ran and I hid. And I watched as they just surrounded me from where I was. And I knew that if I came out, the rocks would just start coming again. And I knew that if I did come out, then I'd probably just get pinned to the ground and beaten up. And yeah, I was scared. I was alone. And apparently I was very patient because I just waited it out until they eventually left and went back to the party. And that was it. I know not everyone has had to deal with being bullied in their life, but I'm sure you can all think of a time when you were genuinely fearful. Which brings us to Psalm 56. To the choir master, according to the dove on far-off terebinths, a mictum of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thanks, offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. The inscription tells us that this was in a time that we can find in 1 Samuel 21, verses 10 to 15. David had already killed Goliath, and anointed with the Spirit, God was already preparing him to become the new king of Israel. But King Saul had other plans. Saul had set out to kill David, and David thought it was a good idea to run and hide in Gath. Except when he was in Gath, the king and his men recognized who he was, and David pretended to be a crazy person in order to escape them. So Psalm 56 takes place when David had enemies wherever he went, fearful for his life at every turn. Imagine being in a situation where you didn't know how it was going to turn out, but all the signs pointed to bad, perhaps even death. That is a life of fear. So for these reasons, David cries out to God, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Well, David shows us what he does with fear. This is my first point. He shows us that a fearful life is not the only option that we have to take. We have another option. Trust. Trust God and his word. Trust is like an antidote to fear. So does he confront these fears? How does he confront with these fears of his? How does he deal with being trampled on? All day long, he says, being attacked, oppressed all day long. Well, he remembers firstly, he has a God. Try to think about anyone who doesn't know our God. Who do they worship? What do they worship? Or maybe someone who doesn't believe in God. Who can they turn to when they're alone or scared? I can think of a few people who I know who don't believe in God. And I'll tell you what they do when they're scared. I'll tell you who they turn to when they're scared. The internet. TV shows. And my all-time favorite comic book heroes. But let me tell you something. Batman, at the end of the day, he is still scared. He's scared of using guns. He's scared of bats. If only he would just deal with his fear, he would be able to enjoy the rest of his life with Catwoman. And Superman, he's got daddy issues. He just needs to realize that his father's still alive. Then he could hang up the cape and enjoy the rest of his life, probably with Lois Lane. For David, he has the God of Israel. The God of Israel who gave him the word. For David, he can recall Psalm 54:7, for he has delivered me from every trouble, and my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Or he can recall Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. See, the word tells us of God's personal character. It's one of faithfulness to his people. And yet living that out, it requires our trust in him. That's why the key is to remember these things. Remember the word of God. It builds up our trust in him. And we know David trusted God because he has a lot of reasons to need to trust God. And he has a lot of songs of praise about him. He has good reasons to keep praising him. And that's what remembering the word of God does. It causes us to respond with thanksgiving and praise for having this incredible relationship with him. So let's pause for a moment, though. Pause to think about the people who do live alone without the knowledge of this relationship with him. If God has not forgotten who you are, if he has not forgotten your situations and continues to be with you always, wouldn't he want us to share that good news with others? This is why David can say in verses 4, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. He doesn't have to fear anymore, and he doesn't take that option. He chooses the antidote, trust. This is a choice that's available for anyone, really. For Christians and non-Christians, it's about getting to know who God is, which the word reveals to us, and choosing to place that trust in him in our fearful times. So what else does David remember? No doubt he remembers the confronting reality of his situation. We see in verses 5 to 7, all day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited for my life. But despite all these reasons to be afraid, he can say, God is for me. In verses 8 to 9, we see a turn. You have kept count on my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. David remembers who God is. He remembers that he's for me. God is someone who remembers every cry of David's, every pain that David endured, every tearful moment of despair. David knows that God heard all of them. He saw all of them because he was with him. David knows that God kept count of his tossings and put his tears in a bottle. And this is why David can say, God is for me. You know, right now, Perth is preparing to return to a more normal way of living. For some of us, this is a great thing. Phase 3. All the extroverts are surely celebrating at being able to gather in large numbers again, but all the introverts are cringing because isolation has been the happiest time of their year. But ever since Perth went into lockdown, remember how we needed to change the way that we were living? Remember how we were outraged with all the viral videos of people fighting over toilet paper? And at the same time, we were messaging each other frantically to find the next Woolies or Coles or Audi to find out who has toilet paper stock. Remember how worried people were about touching the handlebars when they were filling up their cars with petrol? And then they got into the car and then you realized that you didn't have hand detergent. So now you got to figure out, how do you drive home without touching anything? Or how do you drive home with a possibly infected hand, touching the steering wheel, touching the door handles as you get out of the car? All the while, you didn't want to say it, but you were thinking it and you were feeling it. You were thinking, I've got it. I've got COVID. That's fear. All those thoughts, all those extra decisions that we had to make in what seemed like every aspect of our lives, they would have been exasperated by fear. The fear of getting sick, the fear of dying, FOMO, the fear of missing out on toilet paper. And I reckon even now, no one really knows the extent that each of us had to adjust. Not just adjusting our behaviors for COVID, but the way that we thought about COVID. The worries that were happening inside us. Perhaps you were afraid to say your fears out loud. Perhaps you didn't even know how to verbalize them. As Perth begins to open up again, there'll be more adjustments to come. Some of us will thrive at this opportunity. Some of us will genuinely be scared of the many what-if scenarios that are running through their thoughts that no one else can hear. But this time, let us be reminded of God's word. Verse 9, this I know, that God is for me. God knows every struggle that we've been through, because he witnessed it, because he was with us when it happened. He remembers every tear shed. And he knew what was happening inside of us, even when we didn't know ourselves. He knows how scared we were when we had to start following the social distancing rules, when our kids had to keep on attending school while the COVID cases were climbing, when our kids had to return to school, even though the COVID cases were declining. And when our kids and grandparents were coming down with colds. Could it be COVID? We thought. We've been scared of losing our jobs. That was a biggie. That was... speechless. And our frontline workers, who had to return to work every day while the COVID-19 cases were climbing and reducing, he knows how scared we were for them. He knew. He knew we were scared. Yet he didn't dismiss us. He didn't abandon us. He didn't keep going and leaving us behind. While we knew that this God of ours never abandons, there are some people who haven't heard the good news yet. And they will never feel the same security that we can feel by having him. Because they don't have the antidote. They don't have trust. But we have trusted God to get us here today. And we can trust him to prepare us to enter phase 3. He will see us through the next part of our journey together. So remember him. It's why we can say, God is for me. And so my next point is, we see in the psalm that there is a bright future ahead. The psalm tells us that David has changed and he looks forward to a brighter future. Because when we read it, the fear drops off. In verses 3 to 4, David's starting position is from a place of fear. He said, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. But in verses 9 to 11, David doesn't start with fear. And that's why he has grown in confidence. That's because he's grown in confidence in God. He is so confident that he can sing the same words, except instead of starting with fear, he confidently starts with God is for me and adds another line of praise. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? We can see two things here. Firstly, David has gone from fearful to confident. There's growth. There's a life-changing moment. And secondly, what comes next is not a flurry of fearful descriptions that we saw earlier in the psalm. Instead, we see thanksgiving. Because he says in verses 12 to 13, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. What can we conclude then? That God knows every fear, spoken and unspoken. That God is with you when it happens. That God is for you when it happens. That God doesn't want us to remain in the fearful state. And that by remembering what his word says about him, it will cause you to see things differently and be able to face those fears together with him, growing your confidence each time you do. Finally, David sings of God keeping his feet from falling, so that he may walk with God in the light of life. God's word tells us that the Old Testament scriptures point to his son, Jesus Christ. And from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12, it reads, again Jesus spoke to them, the Pharisees, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's this parallel between David and Jesus. Jesus is the one who went through the darkness so that we can have the light of life in our darkness. He came to us as a human, not some kind of alien or angelic being, a human. He came, he lived among people, taught them of his Father, but he also died. A death by crucifixion. An even greater suffering that was suffered all for us. Nails driven into limbs. Being left hanging on a wooden cross until his life ended. It's morbid by today's standards. And how scared would he have been going to the cross? And yet he trusted in the words of his Father. He got there. And thank God he got there, because he secured our salvation. And so we can give thanks to God every day, because we don't have to experience the cross ourselves. We have the light in our darkness. David was suffering fear on his way to becoming a king, but Jesus, he went to the cross and became the king. He now sits on the throne at the right hand of his Father forever. And he's not only our king, but he's our high priest. He's present with us right now as our high priest. We know from Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Jesus secured our salvation on the cross, and he gave us an even greater confidence in God. He is with us. And we can come to Jesus in these times. A light that never stops shining in our darkness. Today, you and I, and really anyone who comes to Jesus will not have to live in fear anymore. We have a God that is faithful to his word, life-changing. We have his Son who is our King, our High Priest, who shows us mercy and grace in our time of need. God bless you.